Dan O'Brien joining us via phone now. Grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension, from his office in Colby, Northwest Kansas. Dan, there's no other way to paint it. Everything turned south this week in the grain price trends, and we'll talk about that in general. But let's begin with one of the few slivers of good news this past week. The pace of corn exports continues to impress.
Yes. For the week ending March 16th, we had exported out of the U.S., actually shipped 54.4 million bushels, and we need a pace of about 44.9 or 45 million bushels to meet the USDA's projection. So that's good news in terms of the underlying demand for U.S. corn at the relatively low prices that we're seeing right now. And in the weakness we've seen in the corn market of late presents a buying opportunity for overseas buyers. So it's all to the good. When you look at grain sorghum exports, grain sorghum has really kind of been an up-and-down situation, whereas last week they had a great pace of exports. This week fell off quite a bit. I think that almost is the norm. And when you look at the overall pace of exports for grain sorghum, we've actually shipped about 109 million bushels of the 225 million the USDA has estimated for this coming year. So we're about halfway to the USDA's projection, and there's still a fair amount of time to accomplish it. Wheat is interesting on the wheat market. Eric, for a while now, we've been looking at the situation or the difference between hard red winter wheat and other classes of wheat in the United States.
And hard red winter wheat is comparatively winning the day.
Yes, and I think that's indicative in our region of elevators taking advantage. For whatever wheat, they're not keeping in storage in long-term quality storage. They're apparently making a fair effort to move. They're probably moving what's out on the ground before the weather warms up or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is motivating it, still there's a fair pace going on of hard red winter wheat exports. It's not the gangbusters pace that we see in real bullish years when there are major crop problems overseas, but we had shipped about 9.5 million bushels of hard red winter wheat for the week ending March the 16th. Need a pace of just a little over 11 to meet the USDA's projection. But for comparison's sake, we'd shipped for all wheat in the U.S., with hard red included, about 23 million bushels. Need a pace of about 30 to meet the USDA's numbers there. So it looks like for hard red winter wheat, we stand a better chance of coming close to or meeting, and if things really, really go well with whatever set of crop problems around the world that might come on, we could even meet the USDA's projection. And of course, the market, as it tries to figure out whether the signals it's receiving are good or bad, you know, they take those USDA numbers and they measure our actual physical shipment pace, and if we're on course to meet the USDA's numbers, well, that's interpreted generally pretty positive. So I would say also for soybean exports, we'd shipped the week ending March 16th, about 21 million bushels. We need about 14 to meet the USDA's projection. That weekly shipment number has been coming down 5 to 10 million bushels a week for several weeks now. And again, you're getting back to the main issue. I think that's caused a lot of pessimism in all the grain markets, i.e. the relatively large crop, record large crop anticipated in Brazil in particular, out of South America. And as that crop is coming out of the field, it's anticipated that when they finally get the bulk of those supplies to ports, then it's going to be pretty hard competition for soybeans to keep up. They've even had enough good weather there in South America that corn numbers are anticipated also to be more than adequate to provide tough competition for U.S. exports. So anyway, I think, Eric, when you look at the export pace, where it's at, where it's anticipated to go, I think we get some clue of the negative, bearish consensus that I think we're experiencing this week and in the most recent weeks in the grain markets. And, you know, you look at where we closed out yesterday with May corn at 356 and three quarters. We've given back most of the gains that we'd had since the lows in late November and mid-December. We're not all the way back down to 350, but gosh, we're just a few cents above it. For wheat, closed yesterday at about 428 for the May futures contract, and the lows we'd seen of late were all the way down to about 415 or so. Well, you know, we're within a dime to 15 cents of the lows we'd seen last fall. For soybeans, I also had a pretty pessimistic week here. We closed at 991 yesterday, and that actually is below the lows we'd seen last December of just at $10. So I think we're setting up this scenario that we were fearful of as we went through the winter, wondering how large crops out of South America would be responded to by the markets and how that might affect the relative expectations of prices and profitability for corn and soybeans and other crops in the United States. So far, well, I guess we have a planting intentions report coming up, basically a week from today, mm-hmm. will be coming out. And with that, we'll see what projections are for 2017. And will we see, based on a reduction in soybean prices now and a softening of the enthusiasm for them, will we see soybean acres not meet the 88 to 90 million acre numbers that have been talked about? And will those acres that don't go into soybeans end up in corn or grain sorghum or spring wheat or another crop? I guess all that remains to be seen. But mm-hmm. I think, Eric, there's a psychology and a dynamic responsiveness that happens with farmers if we find ourselves in the field going successfully here in the latter part of April, May 1st, May 10th for corn around the Corn Belt, and see soybean prices weaken all that much more relative to where corn is at, then do we end up and add on the margin 500,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000 more acres of corn relative to the expectations we've had to this point? And if that happens, then, you know, we start to shift around the projected numbers for production here in the United States this year and start to impact price expectations and expected profitability.
Well, we will size up when we visit next week the pre-report expectations of the trade for the prospective plantings report due out next Friday from the USDA, as you note. Dan, last week we visited some about your latest corn supply and demand price scenarios that you had worked up. Let's do the same for your wheat price scenarios and the potential for wheat getting back up to something, well, better than what we see today. What do your numbers tell us there?
Well, the USDA's initial set of projections came out with, of course, a bit lower acres following mainly from lower winter wheat seedings. They were projecting a crop of about 1.8 million bushels with usage, supply-demand numbers all mixed in, ending stocks of just under 900 million bushels, ending stocks of just about 41%, and a price, actually, of about $4.30. So the question is, yeah, I know what's going into what the reasoning is that brought them to that point, but what could fall apart? You know, where are the weaknesses, and what's the possibility of them happening? Well, I would wonder if, given the dry conditions we see through much of the winter wheat area and our betting on moisture coming, and maybe the next week we'll get all that moisture and things will turn around, but it's not here yet. You know, we could have a sharply lower harvested to planted acreage figure than the USDA is estimating. They're estimating about 85%. We could be a lot closer to 80 or 81. And even with the same yields that they had, about 47.1, then you shave about 90 to 100 million bushels off of that wheat production number the USDA had. Ending stocks down about 50 million bushels with, by the time you work all the way through that, about 39.5% stocks to use and prices up about 20, 25 cents. So that in itself, that acreage change isn't a big, big mover. And even if you plug in a lower yield here in the U.S., something closer to 43.5 to 44 million bushels instead of the 47, if the acreage numbers still come in conservatively, yeah, we're down to 1.6 million bushels. But I guess as long as we maintain our weak export demand situation that we now have, we're sort of, I wouldn't say doomed to be at about 40% stocks to use. But gosh, it's hard to figure out what can come in and change that scenario because we just ratchet back usage. So really what we still are relying on is some unexpected surprise to the positive side on the demand side. And if you add 150 to 200 million bushels to these scenarios from crop problems somewhere in the world, the Black Sea region, again, you can look for a report that'll give you some sliver of a hint that there could be problems over in that part of the world. And there are those reports even this week, but there's a stream of them. You know, we actually need to see the fruition of it. But if you do have that jump up in exports to about 1.15 or 1.2 billion bushels instead of the 950, 975. Well, suddenly we're down to about 30% stocks to use. We're looking at $5 cash wheat instead of this, something closer to four. And then we're feeling a lot better about wheat. So in essence, we could have a drought that would contract usage and would affect prices some to the positive side, but still seems that the game changer in the wheat market would have to be a pickup in the export side.
Well, the full version of Dan's analyses can be found in his notes on agmanager.info this week. Again, agmanager.info. And when we get together again next week, Dan, we will take a closer look at that USDA Prospective Plantings report due out next Friday. Many thanks to you.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate it.
He is Dan O'Brien, grain market economist with K-State Research and Extension.